Amen. So we will be in Psalms 130 this morning as we continue in our Psalms of the Summer. Or is that what it's? Summer in the Psalms. Summer in the Psalms series this morning as well. So Psalm 130, I actually wasn't supposed to read this text this morning. I was supposed to do another one, but kind of I try to have rhythms of reading a psalm or proverb or both a day, and came across this one, and the Lord just made it evident that and it spoke to me a lot, and I pray that he's like, hey, I know you had plans, but this is my plan now. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Psalm 130 is an unknown author. We don't exactly know who it is. Some say Hezekiah, some say not, some say it's, you know, we just don't know. But it is part of the Psalms of Ascent in chapters 120, verse 134. All of these psalms here that we see are psalms that they would sing and praise and prepare as Israelites, Jews, would travel to the holy city. They would travel for whether it's Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles Feast, all of these things. They would sing these songs, like actually sing them, not just read them here in the air conditioning and praise the Lord for them, but they would sing as they were traveling to Jerusalem. And the term ascent in the title comes from a Hebrew word, ma'ala. Now, it could be pronounced way different than that. I don't know. But that's how I'm going to pronounce it this morning, which means going up or ascension or ascending. Referring to the climbing to Jerusalem, that's Jerusalem situated on a hill. And last summer, last July, actually, right around this time, I had the joy and privilege of going to Israel, to the holy city, with my dad and my grandma. And it was such a special, special trip. And you know, one thing I was really thankful for was an airplane, one, right? I was thankful for flights. I was thankful for buses traveling to and from the hill. I mean, if you've been there, you know, if you've seen pictures, it is a very hilly, mountainous area. And so traveling, one, in the middle of summer, traveling over on a plane, that was great. Two, traveling on buses, and I was still hot, right? I was complaining. I was like, man, it's so hot. As I had my, like, cold towel around my neck and the mist spray going in my face, I'm like, oh, I can't take it. And thinking of these faithful men and women that they would make this travel just by foot. A horse, carriage, whatever it was. And they would sing these songs of praise as they were doing it. And it really checked my heart of like, oh, whoa. Oh, Adam, check your heart, man. You got it really good. So as they journeyed through it, it's really interesting. And I think it's really intentional of this word, ascent, going up, climbing, journeying to a holy place. So often, I think we find ourselves needing just that. So often we can find ourselves in a pit. We can find ourselves going on a journey where maybe it's direct decisions that we've made, or it's passive, just small day by day, maybe moment by moment decisions that we are furthering ourselves from God, saying, hey, I don't need you. I have enough strength. I have enough knowledge, enough power on my own to make this decision. And then I think that's where the enemy can really just grip us and rip us apart of saying, hey, you don't need God in this situation. Hey, you're good. You don't need to pray today. Hey, you don't need to dive into God's word. You don't need to read today. Hey, you don't need to do. You got it. You're fine. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a pit and find ourselves so far from God. We're like, wait, what happened? And personally, we go on a journey to a holy place. We find ourselves trying to get back, climbing up, back to holy place, whether it's our own decisions that we've made and put ourselves in, whether it's situations around us that we couldn't control. We find ourselves on a spiritual journey, maybe a personal pilgrimage like the Israelites going, trying to find the Lord. So let's journey together this morning, walk through Psalm 130. And as we get there, I want you to just remember two things. As we open God's word, there's context and there's application. I probably don't have to tell most of you this, but as I'm learning what that looks like, for so long in my life, I thought, hey, this book is directly to me, right? These authors, they wrote this for me, to me, and it's all about me. And that's pretty selfish, right? So this book was written to other believers, to certain churches and people, and maybe just written journaling prayers as we see here as well. And so we always have to remember, all right, this was written long time ago to a specific person or people, but that is the context. So what is it saying? Who is it to? Who wrote it? Why? Why did they write it? What's going on? But thankfully, hallelujah, that God is such a good and gracious God that we get to see the perfection of this book. And we get to apply this text to our lives 2,000 years later. It's not longer, some of the Old Testament, right? And that we get to see, all right, hey, this is the life I'm living. This is what's going on. Hey, this is God's perfect and holy word. Let me live my life according to this, not my opinions on the text. So let's remember that as we dive in this morning. Psalm 130, verse 1 says this, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. I'm going to say that part one more time. But with you, there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word, I hope, my soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and within him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And I love this text because we just see such a range of emotion. Right? At one point, at the beginning, we see this man who's, he is just hurting. Right? It's almost like he's put a circle around him, and all he cares about is the person inside that circle. Right? He's only thinking about his own problems. He's only thinking about his personal sin, the personal struggles. He's only thinking about himself in that moment. Right? And what we'll see here, the steps that he takes to go from one situation of despair, one situation, I mean, you could just see the raw emotion here. You see and almost feel the anxiety. You see the dire need of a savior. You'd see the dire need of redemption and healing. Fast forward to the end. Just six verses later, he is shouting to all of Israel, hey, there is hope in this God. There is hope in the Lord, and he can redeem you, right? I mean, just think about that mindset, just going from one pit of self-pity to just evangelizing to the whole nation. How does that happen? That's a good question. Let's find out. So despair, the context we see here, the steps, we see despair. We see a realization and a remembrance of who God is. We see patience, and then we see a joyful expectation. So let's start with despair. What does that mean? What do we see in the context? Just looking, taking myself out of it for a second, just seeing what it's saying here. Out of the depths, I cry out to you, O Lord. Out of the depths, I cry out to you, Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. It's a very evident emotional person that we see here. I don't see in these first two verses where he's just trying to put on a church face, right? Where he's trying to fake it till he makes it and just pretend like everything's okay and pretend that, oh, I'm good. Like, I know I'm struggling, but like, I'm good. No, he's honest. He's real. He's authentic. You can feel the anxiety in his words and his current situation of needing to be redeemed. And can I just point out something real quick, that this is a perfect and holy book here. Right? The word of God has no mistake. I said, the word of God has no mistake. It can be redeemed for our life. And we see that there's nothing wrong or done by accident here in this book. So I want to see here, I mean, so often we get told, hey, you have to put on a face. Man, know all the church answers. It doesn't matter. Don't feel pain. You're going to be fine. Be a man, right? But we see the opposite. Not just in this psalm, but if you've followed us this summer, you see so many men, women crying out to God. If you've read this book, you see people crying out to the Lord. And please hear me. That is not by accident. From the depths, I cry out to you. Hear my voice, please, of mercy. I don't know who needs it. Like, it's okay to not be okay all the time. It's okay to get mad at God sometimes. It's okay just to let your requests and let your questions be known to God. He can take it. He's God of the universe. He's God of the world. He's God of the created you. He knows your heart. And I think we can resort to just going to get coffee with someone and just talking about our feelings and emotions. Right? But sometimes we just need to cry out to God. There's nothing wrong with counsel and talking with friends about things. And yes, I get it. Like, putting your feelings and emotions on Facebook, it could feel good. But like, if you're leaving God out of it, you're going to miss the point. It's okay to not be okay. I'm reminded of Jonah. Jonah chapter 2:2-6, crying out to God in the belly of a fish. Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, to my God. I cried out for help from his temple. He heard my voice. And listen, and my cry to him reached his ears. Isn't that beautiful? Man, yes, it's okay to get counsel. Yes, talking to someone through what's going on in your life, that's good. But hey, when we do that same thing and talk to God, we turn it into a prayer just like that. And then God hears us and is with us. Psalm 34, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And so many other texts, we see that God is with us. And when we cry out to the Lord, when we are open and real, and especially, hey, men, I feel it, right? I know, oh, I got to come in. I got to be okay for my wife. Like, no, man, we need to cry out. And it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to struggle. This life is hard. But God is with us. He is near the brokenhearted. He hears us when we cry out to him, constantly pointing to not being okay and giving it to the Lord and letting him handle it. He is with us and for us. So we see despair too. We see a realization and a remembrance of who God is. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. And these two verses, there's a lot going on, right? When I read it, I had to reread it and reread it and reread it because I was like, wait, there is a God. God does mark our sin. Right? Sin is a big deal to God. I think we so often forget that sin is literally the thing that keeps us away from God. Right? God wants a relationship with us, but because of our sin, there has to be an answer. And I don't know about you, but so often in my life, I just let my sin, like, oh yeah, I'll handle it one day. Oh, I know I keep falling into this temptation, but you know, as time goes on, it'll get better. No, it doesn't. If you mark iniquities here, and we see what the text is saying, the word mark is translated to watch, to observe with diligence. One scholar pointed out that it's as a watchtower, right? And we see that in verse 6, see in the watchman, we see that close translation here. Thank the Lord he doesn't mark our iniquities on the spot, right? None of us would be here, right? The fear of God is also another tough topic that I wrestled with a lot. I'm like, all right, in my head, I grew up knowing this loving, kind, gracious, forgiving God. But then I got to fear God? Why would I fear? What am I missing here, right? So I struggled with that. And as I grew up, I'm still trying to wrestle what it is. Why am I supposed to fear a loving, kind, generous God? For the same reason we just saw. Our God hates sin. Like, sin is, and again, sin is literally the thing that keeps you away from God. But we're naturally sinners. Right? It is natural for us to sin. Okay, there's some tension here. But when we come to Christ, we see and we realize, man, I am so messed up. Man, God can do anything he wants at any moment in time. We see that throughout Scripture, that God is a just God and there is punishment for sin. That is a real thing. There can be punishment we see here, but ultimately there is a eternal punishment that we are fully away from God if our sin is not marked by the blood of Jesus. So yes, he is good. He is gracious and loving and kind. And there is hope and redemption that we see in this text here. But he is just. Overall, the fear of God can be summarized as a deep respect, a reverence, an appreciation of God. It's a profound acknowledgement of God's supremacy and a driving force for believers to live a life that honors him. Right, as a kid, I always wanted to honor my father and mother. Right, I wanted to do good by them, but I knew, hey, if I step over the line, there's going to be some punishment, right? And we see that and know that in times that by infinity and eternity with God. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not the end, not part of the process. If we want to be wise, if we want wisdom in our life, we have to wrap our head around the knowledge of, hey, God is far superior and far powerful than I. Okay, I need to find my place. That is where wisdom begins. And God gives us that grace. He gives us strengths and talents and abilities and grace. And again, but with the Lord, the end of verse 4, beginning of verse 4, but with you there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. I don't know who needs to be forgiven today. I don't know who needs to forgive someone else today. That could be part of your story right now too. I don't know what you're coming in with. We all need it. We all need forgiveness. Whether it's an eternal forgiveness, day-to-day forgiveness. But I think there's a lot of power when we also forgive someone else. So think about that this morning as well. There is forgiveness in the Lord. And patience, we see here, context, patience, 5 and 6. Does anyone struggle with patience? Am I the only one? Is anyone not patient? Okay, perfect. All right, got it. I'll learn from all of y'all. Cool. So verse 5 and 6, it says this, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. Isn't that beautiful that he puts his hope in just the word of God? Not social media, not politics, not economy, not his salary, not his relationship status. And in his word, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. And again, let's just look back. I mean, just see the beauty in this text right here. The author was crying out for mercy, literally crying from the depths of his pit that he was in, crying out to God. He turns his heart from looking at just the circle around himself and self-pity. He remembers who God is. He remembers not just who God is, but whose he is. He turns his heart from just looking about himself and thinking about himself and his own problems and his own situation, his pit. Now his eyes and his heart is to the King. I mean, you can almost see the confidence. You can almost see the confidence is back, right? His posture is a lot more bold. Starting to speak up and realize his reality. He remembered who he is, and more importantly, whose he is. His tone, attitude has completely shifted just in these short words and short verses. I'm reminded of Isaiah, Isaiah 26:8. It says, this is one of my favorite verses. Yes, Lord. Or just having that yes, Lord mentality. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your truth. We wait eagerly for you, for your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts. Some says desire of our soul. It's a beautiful verse because there's a lot of different words that follow up with each other, right? Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your truth. We are taking steps. We are going a certain direction. We are walking, but we are waiting eagerly. Those are two different words as well, right? There's an eagerness to our patience. And we are longing, we are yearning for the Lord to come back. Man, we need the presence of God in their life. That's what this verse is saying. But hey, as we walk, We will wait eagerly for your truth, for your name and renown are the desire of our souls, our hearts. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't know who's here this morning that if we go through this verse, do you need some more strength to get through your days? Are you tired of waiting? Are you tired of just trying to work your way to happiness? Have you been running and became weary? And wait for the Lord. And the Lord is the one that renews strength, that gives you power, that gives you the strength to face the day. Patience, patience, patience. And we see here watchmen, the repeated. I get this picture in my head. I see, you know, my dad would always watch these army videos, and you see these men marching and they're singing the song, Watchmen in the Morning. Like, that's kind of what my mind goes to in this text here as they're making their journey up. But watchmen, we see, were people appointed to keep guard over a city or a settlement during the night. And their duty was to be on guard and stay on lookout for any signs of danger or impending threats, right? My wife, she's a nurse, and so she has those 12-hour shifts. And praise Jesus, she has the day shift, right? I would be so sad if she did nights. But no offense to night shift people in here, right? But it would be pretty sad for me. I would not enjoy that as much. But during the days, she's working all day, right? Can't see her then, but still get a good hour before she falls asleep when she gets home. But at night, I mean, that's all you see is darkness. Or not at a hospital, right? It can be pretty dark. But for these watchmen, they are just waiting and waiting and waiting for hours on end, for just the crack of dawn, just for the sun, just to make an appearance. Or they're waiting and keeping guard, and I couldn't do it. I would fall asleep in a heartbeat. Right? I know your sleep schedule's different, but like, it's different, right? And just thinking of the excitement that happens when they see just kind of the sky start to lighten up just a little bit. Man, and I was convicted of like, man, how often do I get that excited when I see God move, even just a little bit? And like watchmen in the morning, I wait for the Lord. Am I really waiting for the Lord like that? Are you waiting for the Lord like that? I don't know. But that's a desire that we should have. 4, joyful expectation. We see 7 and 8. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And I think of this picture. It's like a prisoner that was confined in a cold and dark cell. Right, so burdened with his current condition, so burdened about being just locked away by his own anxiety, his own sin, his own stress. I don't know what was going on. And then all of a sudden, he's been released. The guard comes, opens the door. Hey, you don't owe us anything. Get out of here. You are now a free man. Right, and just the joy in just these short verses. I see him just running out of the cell and just being joyous and joyful and excited in this new life that he's been given. And I want to ask us, man, if we are redeemed in Christ, man, there is an excitement that we should have about life and faith and being in the presence of the Lord. And let's pray for that redemption. Let's pray for that and look back at the day that we were saved. I mean, look back at that joyful excitement. This life may have altered some of our views on things, but man, Jesus hasn't, this book hasn't changed, y'all. The gospel hasn't changed. The cross hasn't changed. The joy that we have in Jesus doesn't have to change. And we see that just in these short verses. He was so just, oh, woe is me, right? I'm struggling. Like I was talking to Frances this week. She was at an amazing mission trip. And the problems that we face in America, most of them aren't really problems. Right, go to a third world country, see the problems in the life that they have, but also see the joy that they have in Jesus. It's amazing. Now, yes, there is real hurt. There is real things that we go through. I'm not saying, oh, all of our problems are fake. That's not true. But man, when we let God's word be the anchor of our life and put God's word above our thoughts and our hearts and our knowledge, man, it changes everything. When we know that God can redeem your marriage, when we know that God can redeem your family, your kids, your grandkids, that God is in control of it all, we start taking those steps back to the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation. Right, verses 1 and 2, we see that he felt that condemnation. We felt the weight of sin, the weight of his current space, the weight of his current situation in life. And it's almost as if he would have read that verse. I mean, this verse was written way later, right? But we see that now there, hey, with your relationship with God, there's no condemnation. The anxiety, the temptations that you're facing. I mean, God is in control of all of that. He is with you. He is with the brokenhearted. Run to him. So that was the context. We see that. What does this mean for us today? Look within, look to God, look around, and look forward, right? That's such like a Baptist thing to do, right? And I just did, right? Kind of using the same word to start off an application point, but it works, right? So look within. And I might be speaking to the men more than the ladies, right? But for all of us, we need to look within and get a real reality check of where we stand with God. Believer, non-believer as well, where do we stand with God? What is really going on in our hearts? Hey, why did I speak to my wife like that? Hey, why did I lash out at a coworker like that? Where did that thought come from when I was driving? Why am I giving in to these temptations? Why did I look that up on my phone? Where did that come from? And that's a big deal. Again, sin is a big deal. We tell the teenagers that, but we need reminders as well. It's literally the thing that separates us from God. That's a big deal. What is going on within? Look within. Analyze what's going on in your heart. What needs to improve? What needs accountability? Like the psalmist said, it's okay to cry out. Ask for help. Ask for healing. Some of us need to get just a good yell, right? Just yell out to God, hey, why did this happen? God, I don't understand. I don't get this. I don't know why you took them from me. I've been holding on to this for so long. God, why? And he's with the brokenhearted. He is there waiting. With a gentle response of love and grace and kindness. Look within. Look to God. Look to God for the forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of what's going on. Are you ashamed of your sin? I hope so. There's no sin that God's grace and forgiveness can't cover. I don't know your story. I don't know where you were raised or what you've been through, but I know this, that God covers that sin. That one sin that you can't think that it's like, oh, no, he is there. He is willing and wanting and able to forgive. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Like the psalmist, we must have a remembrance, a realization of who God actually is. A perfect, holy, loving God who is just, who hates sin. If we want to be more like God, I think we need to hate our sin as well. God isn't waiting just to punish you. God isn't waiting just to smite you down with some lightning bolt, right? Like I always thought that would be growing up. Like if I gave in, if I stole the candy, boom, right? Lightning splat right there. But that's not what God does. That's not what God wants. The Bible says he is near. He is close to the brokenhearted. I see it like a painter. Right, like a painter who puts his mark on his paintings or her paintings. That's exactly what God does for us. Hey, she's with me. Hey, I know he's going through a lot. He's with me. Hey, I know they're struggling right now, but this is a family who believes in me and loves me, and I'm here with them. We're marked with Christ. We are his. Look around. Look around, 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. There's patience. Patience, patience, patience. Have you trust? Have the trust and patience and hope that we have in Christ. Be active, right? As we walk, there is walking, there are steps that we need to take, but there is patience to be had. We see through scripture where God just, he wouldn't move, right? 10, 50, hundreds of years. But always, every time, God comes through for his perfect, holy plan. When I say look around, I'm not saying just go to CNN or Fox News and look around and see what's going on. I actually recommend not doing that, right? There's a lot of stress and anxiety that comes with that. But man, look around. Look around right here. I mean, God is moving in this generation. God is moving in this church. God is moving in this city. I mean, just in the student ministry alone, like, can I just talk for this next generation? I mean, this next generation is talented. They are driven. They are excited about the gospel. We've seen close to 50 students get baptized just in this past year. It's nothing I can do. It's nothing these life leaders can do. It's nothing that any staff member can do. God is moving. I mean, it's a passionate generation. They get all this junk. I'll just say junk, right? From older generations, and I'm sure you did as well, and so forth. And it's always been a thing. And but what this generation needs, they are striving for truth. I mean, they're a generation that craves authenticity. They don't want the fluff. They don't want the Sunday face. They don't want just keep it all under control and God's got it, right? They're like, all right, how? Tell me how. Tell me why. How? Why? It's real. They want it to be real and authentic for their lives. We can learn a lot from this generation, actually. And what they need is people coming alongside them and telling them, hey, it's okay. I messed up. I messed up actually a lot more than you did when I was your age, right? You're going to be okay. And encourage them and disciple them. That's what this generation needs. They've already been told they don't care. They don't matter. They're running away from church. Okay, but how to explain? You know what I'm saying? Like, explain what's going on here. We were at camps for all summer. We see students, hundreds, just getting baptized and giving their life to Christ. Man, this generation isn't over. And God is still moving. God isn't done yet. Look around. Focus and just think about more than just your own life and your own struggles. Just for 2 seconds and see what's happening. So have hope. Have hope in the Lord. For you, for your family, for your kids, for your grandkids, this church, this next generation, there is hope to be had in Jesus. And if we take that real and take it as a reality and make it our mission, man, what impact can we make on this world, on this city, and your family alone? And look forward. Be excited and expectant for what's to come. And think about heaven. Spread the good news of Jesus. We see here this man who's he was so just caught up in himself. And next thing you know, he's this evangelist talking to all of Israel. Right, just crying out about his own self-pity. And now he's saying, hey, Israel, have hope in the Lord. And I know if it can happen for this psalmist, it can happen for us as well. And so maybe you're in that pit right now. Maybe you're going through it. And be real, be open, be honest of where you are in your life. It's okay to not be okay. But it's not okay to just stay there. And run to the Lord. Remember whose you are. Remember the God that created you and his character and his promises never fail. He hasn't changed his mind about 2023. Like, you know what? Now's the time where I stop. No. There is hope. Look forward. Can I challenge you to think about the last time we had a conversation about Jesus? Like an actual conversation, right? Like, not just, hey, you should come to North Klein. That's good. But I think Jesus called us to be disciples, not just church inviters. That's why I want to challenge. This is a challenge to myself, right? More than just a student pastor, just in my day-to-day as well. And let's step out in boldness. Step out in faith and tell Israel, oh, Israel, hope in the Lord. I don't know who needs to hear it, your coworker, your family. Hey, there is hope to be had in Jesus. Be excited for what's to come. Like I think of heaven, and I know it's going to be amazing, and I know it's going to be infinitely more amazing than my thought of it being amazing. So when you're in that pit, think forward. You think, hey, this is only temporary. This isn't going to last. And God is with us. He's with the brokenhearted. There's hope, deliverance. Think of heaven. I mean, so as we close, I think it's the only way we can is letting the word of God preach for itself. Not my opinions, not someone's opinions. Verse 7. I don't know who needs it, but there is hope in the Lord. Real, true hope. Not just I hope we get Taco Bell for lunch, right? The word hope has been watered down a lot in America, but there is true, just authentic hope we see here in Scripture. I hope, I yearn for this. I love Taco Bell, but get a better lunch choice too, okay? But there's hope in the Lord. For the Lord, for with the Lord, there is steadfast love. Not just easy love when you're being successful or when you're on top of it. When you're easy to love or when someone else is easy to love, there is just steadfast, consistent love and more love and more love in whatever season of life you're going through. There's hope in the Lord. For with the Lord, there is steadfast love. And with him is plentiful redemption. I don't know who needs redemption this morning. I don't know who needs forgiveness or to give forgiveness. But I hope you know that there is hope found in Jesus Christ. And he strives and craves a relationship for you. He created you with a purpose and a reason and wants you. And he doesn't just want this passive Christianity. He wants us to be bold and confident in his gospel. And so if that's you this morning, just talking about faith and needing that redemption and needing salvation, I hope you know there's a God that loves you. He died on a cross for you. And there's power in that. So let's pray. And as we pray, just think. I mean, just think of what needs redeemed in your life, what needs forgiveness for yourself, and what needs forgiveness. Maybe you're the one that needs to be forgiving someone else. Maybe you need to just cry out to the Lord today. Maybe something's been holding you back for so long. And give it to the Lord this morning. If this is your first time here, there's a plenty of people that are wanting to talk to you, hear you. I would love to hear from you and talk through and pray through things. And we have an amazing group of people and leaders back in this room, back to the back, that would love to just hear your heart and what's going on in life. Hear your heart about if you want to get baptized or giving your life to the Lord or just needing prayer, counsel, whatever it is. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.